cliffcentral.com.
All right. Justice Malala and the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's, next. I just thought it would be fun for us to check in quickly on our new Instagram page for the Gareth Cliff Show, which you can go and join. I mean, it's, you know, just hop on like you would for any other Instagram. It is The Gareth Cliff Show, one word, right, Flax?
That is correct.
All right. We put up a little video yesterday of Sugargate Part 3.
Oh, dear.
You know, we had this situation here where Jane, who's in charge of housekeeping here at Touch Central and Cliff Central, she's been very worried that KF Malindi from Zim Conversations has too much sugar in his tea, and he's responsible for using up at least 6 spoons of sugar, according to Jane, every time he's here. So here's the actual video. Let me just get this up for you, and you can hear the craziness unfold. How do I start this thing again properly from the beginning? Just hang on. Oh my God, it's so confusing.
So many buttons.
So many buttons. Let's take a look here. All right, I think I got it. All right.
I just want to clear this out because Gareth yesterday asked me the question about you.
Again?
I said I didn't see you since that time.
Mm-hmm.
So today I'm saying, just tell me the truth. Do I look like I like you?
I wasn't the one.
So now you're sweating because of me.
No, I'm sweating because it's hot outside.
You see, you're the only one who's sweating.
Michael, why are we recording this?
It's for the Gareth Cliff Show. The Instagram account.
I'm not saying anything more. I'm done. I won't say. I promised myself I would not say anything else in this studio.
All right, you can watch the whole thing. It's hysterical because you can see who the people are involved. And Jane and KF, I mean, they didn't rehearse this. You just started recording, right?
It just started on its own.
Yeah.
So what Jane was basically saying to KF is that she's actually not married. So KF's like, well, now you seem to be coming on to me. And she's like, no, you're the one sweating here. And he's like, well, you know.
So do you think she's crazy?
I think she's actually in love with him.
Mm.
I think that's what it really comes down to. And this whole sugar thing is such a side story.
She said something yesterday which was really funny. She called him like a piece of paper compared to her. Because he was so thin.
Oh.
What do you remember, Ben?
There's a lot of sexual tension here, Michael.
Yes.
I just think Jane might want to do things to KF that KF might not consent to. I think that's what it really comes down to.
Oh, yes.
All right. We'll leave it at that for the moment. We've got
smoldering undertones here.
Justice Malala, the best political commentator in the country, waiting to tell us what's going on. I read his latest article, which is fascinating. He basically is trying to tell us that the president is not actually in charge, in his opinion. The president has been put on the back burner, and the Guptas are communicating directly with the ministers in their employ. Is that a reasonably good synopsis, Justice? It's a fascinating article. It's got a lot of interest on social media. Is that what you were saying?
Guys, can't we talk about the other stuff? I mean, I like six. Is anyone going to talk about the 6 teaspoons of sugar?
Oh, trust me. This is a big concern around here. It's like what brought Nixon down at Watergate. This is Sugargate, I'm telling you.
I think we need to talk. I mean, really.
It's very
and then
bad.
He's sweating.
All right.
Between the sweat and the 6 teaspoons of sugar.
I know. It's a very confusing situation, but we'll have them all come in and you can judge for yourself next week what's going on here.
We need to get to, shall we say, the bottom of it.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's a good synopsis of what I wrote, Gareth. I just think if you look at some of the crazy things that took place last week, the week before, everything from someone like the deputy secretary of the ANC, Jesse Duarte, going on ANN7, and suddenly, boom, you know, she's worried about the holding of the Reserve Bank, and, you know, that's why the rest is doing this. It just seemed like people are being briefed all on their own to just do stuff. Museveni, the way he is so shameless about the fact that he one lied about government, about cabinet, saying cabinet has approved that there be a commission, a judicial commission of inquiry into the banks. And then when Bing found out that he lied about that, said, even in Parliament today, he just said, you know what, just go jump in the lake, I'm immune. And quite frankly, I think he is, because President Zuma is not giving the orders. I think he's taking his orders directly from the Gupta family. And so he has absolutely no need to worry that he'll be fired or that he'll be brought to some kind of order. Otherwise, President Zuma would have called him straight up from Beijing and said, from Hong Kong, and said, you know, guy, I think it's time for you to think about, you know, hitting the road back to the Free State.
But
it's not going to happen.
But the presidency did release that statement on Friday, which distanced themselves and government from the comments of the minister. Is that not a bit of a slap in the face for the minister anyway?
Oh, it's a... No. If you
Flax, please try and improve this line. Just get justice back in another line. This is terrible. I can't. People are getting frustrated here. I want to see if we can't improve the Skype line so we can talk properly to justice. This whole technology is meant to help us, not hold us back, right, Mubs?
Technology has mood swings sometimes, and then you're just supposed to what's the phrase? Grin and bear it. Or
I think
something?
The phrase is blame Cape Town.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, is it a Cape Town?
I'm okay. I'm okay with blaming Cape Town for a lot of things. I'm okay with that.
Here are a few comments just while we're waiting for justice to get back on the line. Akona says, greeting from the villages of Butterworth in the Transkei.
Hello.
Lindsay says, can we please take a picture of Flax to add to the Instagram account? He's the only one missing from that new Instagram account. Yeah, we'll do that today. Simba says, Sugar Jane did a great job on the phones the other day. Yeah, when Flax is away. And good morning, team from KC. I want to end the Batman and Superman debate forever. The latest Batman is Ben Affleck. That's enough to tell you that even Marvel don't give a damn about Batman. And that cheating lady of yesterday, I take my hat off to her husband for taking her sorry ass back. I would never take a cheater back. Anyway, great show. And who's the special guest today? It is Tokyo Sekhwale, KC. So hang on for that. Let's go to Justice, see if we've got a slightly better line now. And we can continue this discussion around Musa Benziswani and the president. Sorry, Justice, we had a terrible line there. Is this any better? Hello? Oh, my God. Hang on a second. You've got the wrong channel in here in any case.
Oh, dear.
Hello, Justice. Justice, can you hear
guys.
Me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a little bit better. This is not great either, but we'll try. Mm. All right.
I could hear you loud and clear. Terrible. Anyway, sorry about that. I'm not sure where you where I ended up.
Just about the presidency's rebuke of his statement, basically.
Yeah, no, and you know, look at that rebuke and how strong and definitive it was. And you could say, yes, the presidency did it and President Zuma did it, because he is the president after all. But he was away, and I think that statement came from the acting president, actually. And that was Cyril Ramaphosa. I don't think that the president issued that statement. So I'm not convinced that that our conversation and my theory is nullified by the fact that that was a real slap in the face for Museveni, because he essentially, in his behavior, just thinks, well, yeah, you can say all that, you can slam me down, but I'm not judged by you. I'm judged by a totally different entity. And that's the President of the Republic, and he might not be here. But he's coming back this week. It would be interesting to hear, when Jacob Zuma is asked about that statement, whether he says it's outrageous, this man must account. Remember that COSATU has said he must be called to account. The ANC, the Secretary General Gordimer Mpasha has said this is outrageous, he must account. And the SACP has said this man must be put to account. But will that happen when President Zuma comes back? you know, I'm spending a lot of money on you guys, but I'm willing to bet that it's not going to happen.
All right. While we're talking about the president, Pravin Gordhan back from China and said nothing's being done about the Guptas, but he's also, I've heard rumors that he may be arrested tomorrow. I mean, what do you think's going to happen here?
There are lots of rumors that he might be arrested. There are lots of rumors that he might be fired in the next few days. There are so many rumors going around. I no longer try to forecast whether Pravin will be here or not. I find his words back in February when he said that, you know, if I'm around in October, and I guess that was for the medium-term budget policy statement, he said, then no, I have political backing. If not, then I'll be out of here. And it's beginning to look increasingly like he's a man under siege. To be honest, if it happens, I think it will catch so many people in the ANC by total surprise. I follow very closely on these issues. Someone like Zolin Kiese, the Treasurer General of the ANC, who I think has far more power, far more influence over President Zuma than many people account for. And Zolin Kiese made a speech at Sanlam 2 nights ago, mm-hmm. in which he said, you know, we are fully behind President Zuma. Behind Pravin Gordhan, the ANC, the president, and so forth. Now, you remember that Zolin Kiese is the man who, after 9/12 last year, when Ntantaneno was fired, he's the man who traveled between Sandton and Tshwane, talking to President Zuma, talking to business people, talking to civil society, and saying, President Zuma, perhaps it's time to reconsider a decision to appoint Dev Van Rooyen, the MK veteran, as the finance minister. And he managed to get him to essentially change that decision and install Pravin Gordhan. We know that President Zuma hasn't liked that. But I believe that, you know, President Zuma still listens to him. So, in a way, I would say there's a mitigating factor. And that mitigating factor is that some of the words spoken by Zolin Kiese. But, you know, quite frankly, anything could happen. Remember that Benin Nkameza, the head of the Hawks, wrote a letter to Pravin Gordhan about four months ago, saying, you are not a suspect, and we are not investigating you. Well, 2 weeks ago, we found that he has written a letter saying, come in for a suspect inquiry. Come in, let's question you before we charge you. That means that he lied to him when he said, you're not a suspect. He was just doing it for show. Hmm. And we know that this is a man who has lied under oath, as Judge Matujani of the Pretoria High Court has told us. So anything could happen with the Hawks. I think if it does happen, they'll hold tight. You remember what happened in December when Michael back there in the studio said was in Europe and 9/12 was going to Europe and 9/12 happened. Mm-hmm. And the rand plunged to 20 whatever to the pound.
I know.
Nearly 20
his parents had to sell the other children just to pay for his trip.
Exactly. Well, I think any move on Pravin Gordhan will have a devastating effect on the rand and on the markets. And, you know, all of us will be talking to Antia quite frequently, because I think we'll get a big hit.
All right.
So the stakes are high if President Zuma goes up there or the Hawks try to arrest Pravin Gordhan.
Justice, everybody's talking about political gestures and party politics at the moment with the change in some of the metros. People like Solim Simanga have decided to make symbolic gestures. Now, tell us about what the differences are between what Solly's proposing and what the ANC in the greater Tzaneen municipality have done?
Well, I mean, I think it's worth remembering last year when Pravin Gordhan, actually at the beginning of the year, when Pravin Gordhan said in the parliament, you know, people must fly economy class instead of flying business, we need to tighten our belts and so forth. And he flew economy class, and someone took a sneaky picture and put it on Twitter, and it went viral. Now, that was ordinary South African saying, we like what you're saying, we like what you're doing, and we will applaud you for it. If you look at what has been happening in the election with the ANC taking a beating in the metros, to be honest, it's people saying, we don't like what you're doing, and we will send you a message. So I think the ANC needs to learn from that, because if you look at what Solim Simanga did in the city of Tshwane, he comes in, he says, you know what, stop the buying of all these new cars, put a stop to the buying of all these luxury cars for all these for all his politicians, and because we don't want them, we don't need them, we can drive a Honda or a Nissan Corolla, and that's it. We don't want these fancy stuff anymore. They don't work. Then go to Tzaneen, where the mayor has just been bought I think it's 1.3 million rand car, the fancy BMW, and the speaker has been bought a 450,000 rand car. And say, you know what, people, you might not think that people are watching and listening, but down the line, people are going to say, you remember when Solim Simanga said, and the ANC went and bought the mayor of Tzaneen a 1.5 million rand car.
Yeah.
What's going on here? So, you know, people mustn't say the signs are not there right at the beginning. The signs are here. It's right at the beginning of the local government cycle. And I tell you, in the next 5 years, we're going to see lots of by-elections as many of these coalitions collapse and so forth. And people mustn't say they were unwarned, because what Solim Simanga is doing is what people like. What is happening in Tzaneen, a municipality that is impoverished, that is full of poor people. I happen to know it because my grandmother and my parents come from there. And I'm telling you now, there will be consequences. And we won't be talking about, oh, you know, the clever blacks in the urban area.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about everyone, because that's the kind of stuff that is very important in politics. The way people, you know, what Solim Simanga might have done might be a bit of political posturing and so forth, but it matters. It matters when you think of the publicity that was given to him when he said that no blue lights in the city of Tshwane. And, you know, those things count little by little. And people start saying, maybe I didn't give him my vote last time. I'll give it to him now. And people wonder why the DA has won nearly 66% in the Western Cape, because it does things like that. So I think anyone thinking about the 2019 elections, which is only 30 months away, they better think hard about the fact that it's very close. It's around the corner.
Apparently,
by elections are close.
Apparently, in the municipality of Imalahleni as well, the mayor just spent 1.5 million rand on a car.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you stop and say, what exactly is going on here? Why do they, you know, I would understand if the mayor say of Tzaneen, actually, because it's a very rural area. Yeah. If they said, no, we'll buy you a 500,000 Toyota or Ford or whatever, these 4x4s, which don't break down all the time. But you go and buy yourself a fancy black car because you're the mayor and you need to show off. Quite frankly, the message feels all wrong. The message is very wrong. And Emalahleni mayor is exactly the same thing.
Justice, while we're on party politics, there was this march on Luthuli House, the ANC fighting with the ANC. They handed over a memorandum to Gwede, and what happens now?
Well, for me, that's the key question. It's what does the ANC do about it? Is it just going to be, oh, we took the memorandum and we're going to forget about it, or what happens now? So what you see happening now is that there are already lists being distributed on Facebook, particularly from the Northwest and Mpumalanga, saying these are the leaders we must choose and so forth. So the leadership contest is on. The contest to have a conference of the ANC is on, but I don't think we're going to have an early conference. I think the conference will still be in December next year. But the ANC is increasingly, from now on, going to be obsessed with the elective conference in the run-up to next December. And you're going to see contestation. You're going to see more fracture, people fighting about who gets on the list, who doesn't get on the list. So we've just come out of another election, and we're going into another very important one, and that's the ANC election. So expect to start hearing about Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma because she's top of the ANC list. I see, for example, in Mpumalanga, then at the ANC in Mpumalanga, lots of people talking about David Mabuza as the deputy president of South Africa. Expect to hear a little bit more about that. You'll hear about Cyril Ramaphosa talking to Nkosazana and saying maybe we should do things together. You'll hear about Zweli Mkhize talking to Baleka Mbete, saying maybe we should do things together. Certainly, you'll begin to hear Baleka Mbete's voice mentioned again and again, because if you remember, over the past few months, you've been going to places like the Eastern Cape, the Northwest, saying, oh, look at me, I'm here. So it's going to be another election is around the corner, and there's going to be lots of contestation in the ANC. For the ANC, I think it needs to deal with the divisions that have come after this election, or else we're going to see, again, another attempted march on the House. And it doesn't have a lot of numbers because people are intimidated, but it's not good for the ANC to be seen to be divided, which it is right now.
Justice, what about Robert McBride's victory at the Constitutional Court? What does this mean to you?
You know, we've just had a new public protector elected yesterday in Parliament. The key thing is the separation of powers. Who runs what? The public protector must do her job without fear or favor. The head of IPID, which is the body that looks at the police and says, you guys are killing people in Marikana, that's wrong, and we're going to send you to jail for it. That body as well needs to be above scrutiny, above board. And so what you've seen is the Minister of Police trying to interfere in their affairs, and it hasn't worked out well. So the Constitutional Court has upheld that, and I think it's absolutely key for people to start realizing that these are institutions that cannot be fiddled with, and people mustn't fiddle with them. And that's what the Constitutional Court has said. The Minister of Police, who has been essentially trying to get rid of McBride because he doesn't like his politics. He wants to put his own person in, and he doesn't like the scrutiny that McBride and others have brought upon people like Benjamin Kameza at the Hawk. So I think you know, whatever we might say about this country when we are depressed and so forth, it's fantastic. We need more institutions like that, the public protector, IPED, all those. They must be independent and above politicians, and then we'll be a great country. So it's very good. If people people want to smile and walk about being good about themselves, they must look at that constitutional court and what it did. It did exactly what it did with Nkandla Ruli when it said President Zuma must pay. It was essentially saying there are rules, there are laws, the Chapter 9 institutions, I paid those kinds of institutions, must be above politicians and must be able to deal with them when they need to be dealt with. So it's a fantastic thing.
Justice, time for just one more thing, and I know it's something you and I both agree on. Any country, any institution, any group of people, any single individual who burns books is an enemy of free thought, is an enemy of the people of a liberal society. At UKZN, just over the last few days, there's been unbelievable violence, destruction of property. Do you have any comments on that before we get to the rest of the programming?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, for me, Gareth, here's the thing. How exactly does a poor kid who needs to get into university, how are they helped by the burning down of a library at UKZN or anywhere else? They are not helped by all. In fact, the struggle, the fight for a free education for poor people is harmed by this sort of thing, because now you start the conversation and the first thing is, but why did you burn the library? Now, you know, people must be careful that a legitimate struggle is not sullied by this sort of thing. And I think for it to happen on the eve of World Literacy Day is just such an indictment on all of us, on all South Africans. And I just feel that we are not jumping up and down enough about people like this. The state needs to be clamping down, finding out exactly who did this, because it's not all the students who are protesting at UKZN, but someone knows someone who knows someone who knows who did it, and they must be found. But you know, I mean, I wish the SAPS was all over the place and finding that person. Not harassing the student, but finding the person who lit that match. Because if we allow that to happen, I tell you, there was someone who tried to do the same thing at first. They didn't succeed, but they will succeed this time. And how is that advancing any struggle whatsoever? And if they are not caught, it will become an epidemic, which we have to stop it. It's just appalling. It's absolutely appalling. And I just feel that people who will say, oh, you know, don't paint all the students with one brush. Well, someone needs to start saying, enough is enough. We can't have this kind of violence going on. I was at Wits on Saturday. A bunch of students stopped Adam Habib from speaking. So just the other day at UCT, Max Price was essentially nearly kidnapped because people didn't want him to speak. And that underlying violence in all these protests needs to be addressed. You might be right on whatever stand you take. You have absolutely no right to be violent and to stop others from speaking that simply because you are who you are. It's terrible. And I think that culture is what will set us back. So what happened at UKZN yesterday is just appalling. It needs to stop.
All right. Thank you, Justice Malala. The Burning Platform, it's brought to you every Thursday morning by Nando's. About a half an hour of us getting the latest in analysis from Justice on all the major issues in politics in the world. Always interesting, right?
Absolutely,
fascinating,
yeah.
Stuff. All right. Coming up in a moment or two, we'll check in on news, headlines, sport, everything else you need to know. Don't forget our guest, Tokyo Sekgwale, coming up just after 8. It's Goldfish with Moon Walk Away. TouchCentral.fm, cliffcentral.com. Spread the word to your friends and family, even your enemies. Tell them to download the app, both apps. Tell them to get onto the site, tell them to see what the lineup is. Tell them to pay attention, because you could always just carry on doing what you've always done, or you could do better. Your way of doing better. This is the way of starting your day right. You can end your day right with Tibo Touch and everything in between. All right, time for the news on Touch Central and CliffCentral.com. The news is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. You got to get to their new stores, Mubs. They've got a brand new international store at the Mall of Namibia in the Grove.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. So you can go and check that out if you're listening to us in the capital of Namibia. And there are also openings and reopenings at Benmore Gardens in Sandton. And they've just opened a new store in Paarl in the Western Cape and the Boardwalk Casino in Port Elizabeth. So if you want some decent food, you feel like spoiling yourself, Colcacchio Pizzeria, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, what's in the news?
All right, so still a lot of uncertainty around the issues surrounding the Hawks and the finance minister. The latest from the NPA is that they're saying there's no specific time period as to when they will decide whether or not to charge the finance minister. They're really not prepared to let any of us know what their next plan of action is going
because
to be.
They don't know. They don't know what they're doing. Their left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. And playing with people's lives like this, I mean, if you don't have certainty from the law, who do you have certainty from?
Meanwhile, Freedom Under Law and the Helen Suzman Foundation are seeking a court interdict to prevent the NPA and the Hawks from arresting the finance minister without sufficient notification. For now, the minister continues with his work, but these charges that he's facing has got a lot of investors very concerned. And you talk about that uncertainty, it's doing a lot of damage to the economy still. The hitman accused of shooting and killing Jade Paneyatu died yesterday. I've been talking a lot about this guy throughout this week. Sizwe Zaike Vumazonke died in Livingston Hospital, aged 30. Fears that he may have been poisoned have emerged as he slipped into a coma. Oh, yes. The state says that they're now waiting on the toxicology report to find out exactly what led to his death. Mm-hmm. And then we have to talk about the other Zuma, Gareth, who's being made to pay back the money, being paid to pay back a lot more money than the president's 7 million rand for Nkandla.
Which Zuma?
Kolobuse Zuma, the president's nephew. He was ordered to pay back 23 million rand in damages to the liquidators of the Phamotse and Aurora mines by the North Gauteng High Court yesterday. 5,300 Aurora employees will now receive part of their outstanding monies from the settlement. Have a listen to this payment plan that Kolobuse has to abide by. He was given until the end of yesterday to pay back his first installment of 500 thou.
Yeah.
And this is exactly how much he'll be paying every month over the next 2.5 years or so. 500 thou every month.
Good. I'm going to take away that car that's too small for him anyway.
Can you imagine his debit orders over the next 2, 3, 4 years? Oh.
I heard a story about Kolobuse Zuma. Kolobuse! I heard Kolobuse filled a bath with Moët Chandon champagne.
Okay.
And put his mistress in it.
Oh, he put her in it. He didn't get into it.
Well, maybe he tried. But I mean, if he got in, you'd need just a couple more cases. No, it's just a bath. It's not a pool. Fire pool. Anyway, so Kulu has to give away 500 thou every month.
He's got to
pay
back.
Imagine having a bill of a 500 thou every month.
Man, this is what I'm saying about your debit orders every month.
Kulubuse.
23 million rand in the settlement that he has to pay back.
Wow. Unbelievable. I mean, he eats 20 grand a day in food, right?
Here we go.
So if he just cuts his food bill back by half, he could have enough in 3 days. All right. Let's go and check out Colcacchio Pizzeria if you haven't done that before. If you're looking for a cool place to go and eat really good food, it's got a great atmosphere, great vibe, you need to get to Colcacchio Pizzeria. Yes, yes, yes. Let me tell you, they make gourmet pizzas. They have an equal commitment to health in what they serve. The health balance with the Italian spirit and the thin base of the pizza have made many skeptics very impressed with what they've got going on.
I just gave you something I found online which blew my mind about Colcacchio's.
Okay, let's have a look at this. They chose a name that seems derogatory, and they were speaking to the skeptics, given since 1992. They've opened one Colcacchio after another. They're now sitting at 24 restaurants, huh? That's pretty impressive.
That's a good
So chain. What is it that blew your mind?
So the fact that everyone was skeptical that they could make pizzas and still try keep a healthy, balanced diet.
Yeah.
So everyone was skeptical that the owners could do this. Then the owners came up with the word Colcacchio.
Which means up yours,
which was like to the skeptics, like, watch us do it. It can be done.
Middle
and they
finger.
Did it.
There we go. It's another reason it's a great restaurant. Go and check it out. ASAP, Ben, what do you have for us?
Tiger Woods will officially return to golf next month, which means that everybody who loves golf just spent an hour on social media yesterday just teeing him up.
Teeing him up.
Okay. With all kinds of things. Uh-huh. The Tiger is, well, basically, like I said before in the show, he's like a broken down sports car with cocaine and hookers in the back seat. There's just all kinds of just wear and tear on this dude. So, yeah, he'll come back and he'll be able to play again. He's chosen the opening event of the US PGA Tour season in October 13th in Napa, California. Mm-hmm. He's then going to go to Turkey in November for the Turkish Airlines Open. And then he'll play the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas in December. So he's got three events he's going to come back for.
Well, there we go.
But he will be back for the Ryder Cup as an assistant captain person. So he'll be just driving around in a golf cart telling people to be good and stuff like that. So Tiger will be back.
What would Gary Player say about that, Ben?
Gareth, he would say, we need a black champion. Okay. That's one of Gary's gospel lines. We need a black champion.
All
right. In cricket news, Temba Bavuma, he scored 100 yesterday as the Lions beat the Titans in the Akasi Cup Challenge. Now, Temba Bavuma has just been placed into the ODI squad. So your general skeptic is going, oh, but he's not good enough. Well, take that. 100 runs, and he led his team to victory yesterday. Pakistan thrashed England by 9 wickets in the end of tour T20 match, so they got some consolation out of that. In US Open news, Andy Murray has gone. He's not in it anymore. He's out. Kane and Shikori beat him. On the other side of the men's draw, Monfils versus Djokovic. So exciting times. I think Djokovic will definitely get through that one. Monfils doesn't generally get past the quarters, and here he is in a semi against Djokovic. Not going to the firepower there. So Nishikori and Djokovic final, very much on the cards there. Very, very exciting stuff. And in rugby, New Zealand will take on Argentina at 9:35 on Saturday. That will be in New Zealand. And then after that, 12:05, the Springboks versus Australia. Four changes to that box team. Big changes in the back line. And, these two teams are so evenly matched right now. They've had a torrid time of things in the last sort of 6 months. And both teams look quite out of sync generally. So we'll see who comes out on top there. 12:05. More sports tomorrow.
All right. Very good. When we come back in a moment or two, we've got to talk about these asteroids that are all heading to Earth to kill us. I don't know if you know, but a few weeks ago, probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we narrowly missed annihilation. And it seems that the heavenly bodies are getting closer and closer every time. I read a story yesterday about another asteroid that's heading right for us. We need to figure out whether this is actually happening or not and how it's happening and whether or not there's anything we can do about it. But more especially, what would you do if you knew it was coming? Who would you want to be with? I'm not going to put a dampener on your day. We've just started Thursday. But maybe you have some thoughts on that. Yes. The very talented Black Coffee with Nakana Ture. And We Dance Again. Nice song. Speaking of songs, on Zim Conversations, that is a CliffCentral.com podcast, you will be able to hear an interview with Pastor Evan Mawarire on the latest that continues his struggle against the government of Zimbabwe in his This Flag campaign. And there's a new song they've just released, so don't miss that with KF Malindi and Kamupiri on Zim Conversations today, 10 o'clock in the morning.
The last we heard of the pastor was that he had gone to the United States.
That's right.
So I'm interested to hear what the developments around that are.
We will find out.
Well, KF was telling me this is going to break the internet. This is how big this is.
Huh.
And then after that, he said he might start his own radio station called KF Central, KFC. I told him there could be some copyright problems there.
Just
but
a little bit?
No, he's very confident. On the back of today's show, he's taking things to the next level.
Okay,
all
then.
All right, well, take a listen while it's still here. All right, lots of messages and emails and the rest that we'll get to in a second or two. I mentioned just a moment ago, there are these asteroids and meteors that come raining down, and most of them are harmless. There was a Russian dude, I saw a video the other day, of a Russian guy sitting in his car, and one of these, I suppose it's a little asteroid, comes shooting down through the sky with this blinding white light, and it slams into the ground in clear view of him. All he does is pull down the sun visor and carry on driving. Clearly in Russia, this is no big deal.
There seems to fall there, huh?
It's such a big country.
There's been a few, yeah.
Oh, it's such a huge country that's probably why there's so much of it. But I thought the other day, you know, if a big enough one hits, there's no way that you'll survive. So you've got a couple of minutes to decide. And I'll never forget that movie Armageddon, They all plan what they're going to do when the thing hits the earth, right?
Yeah.
Who you want to be with, where you want to be. And I'm not trying to depress you, but these are things that it might be fun to think about. Out of everybody you know, who would you like to be with? Family? Friends? Would you like to be hard at work?
No, 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 no.
Would you like to be drunk? Would you like to be high? Would you want to be outside? Would you want to be indoors? Would you want to have a view of the whole thing as it happens? High on a mountain or down at the sea? Where would you want to be? Think about these things. I was joking around when I was in Durban over the weekend, last weekend, and I thought, well, what if a huge tsunami was coming now? What would I do? Stand there? Run? You wouldn't be able to outrun it.
No, you know that you're going to die. So it's about prioritizing what you're going to do over the next few hours.
And to be fair, you don't know what you're going to do because fight or flight might kick in and you might just do something you didn't expect. But if you're rational now, you think about these things, what would you choose to do?
Jeez, but like us humans, we're just going to a flat panic of stupidity.
Yeah, we'd start running around with our hands in our heads. And
chaos.
Yeah,
you
know, we'd be flailing our arms.
We'd all act like we're on fire. I mean, obviously, people would steal things for no purpose whatsoever. People would steal TVs.
People steal TVs whenever there's a problem.
You would have 2 minutes to live, but someone will steal a TV.
Right.
People will crash into each other on the roads in their cars.
Right. What would you do, Alan Ford?
I'm not saying. All I'm saying is he's.
Okay, all right. Okay, don't worry. Yes, Flex.
Yeah.
I think people would try outrun the tsunami, and then halfway through it, they'd figure out, nah, can't outrun it. Let me just take it.
So you just stop.
But then the clever people will try rent a boat and quickly get out to sea to be behind the tsunami.
I don't want to be a stickler for the rules here, but when this isn't, like a tsunami comes, the sea goes out.
Yeah.
You have time.
You do have. You've got about 20 minutes or so that you can. Yeah. Get in the car and drive. Yeah. Get in the car and go to high ground.
So when the sea kind of just starts running away from you, that's when you got to be scared because it's coming back with everything else. So.
No, but you see, a tsunami is not as big of an event because it would only affect a particular area. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk about these asteroids because...
Oh, no, that'll wipe us all out.
You see, the asteroid is going to have a much bigger impact if it hits.
So what do you do?
I mean...
Where are you going to be?
I don't know if... I want to be with family. I would much rather...
Please don't be all on your own on a high hilltop with...
I would much rather be having an orgasm, if I have to be 100% honest.
All right.
And it would be very awkward doing that around my family.
And knowing that the end of the world is coming and you hope that you get your orgasm before the end of the world. Your timing has to be perfect. Your timing is going to be spot on.
Definitely. No pressure, eh?
What would you do, Ben?
There's nothing else to do. I mean, you don't want to sit around and all stare at each other and go, oh, we're going to die. You might as well be having sex.
Yeah, that's a good plan. Okay, you two.
What are you going to do? You're going to stare at the asteroid coming down?
I want to see what happens. I want to be up on high ground so I can watch it unfold and then it'll eventually hit me and it's done. But I want to see as much of it as possible. I mean, it would be such a spectacular sight, right?
Yeah, but it'd be so bright you'd lose your vision. Because, you know, it comes down and there'd be lights and that kind of stuff.
But I want to see it come down. And when the lights happen and I lose my vision, tough titties. Then I don't know what's happening anymore. But when it comes, I want to watch it. Flex?
I don't know why, but the image in my mind when I think of a asteroid or meteor coming to hit this Earth, I want to be like on a couch with 50 Cent, like we're best friends, and we're like playing like FIFA together, we're chilling, we like having Cezerp, he's teaching me stuff, just like
what
most relaxed scene.
What is the point of 50 teaching you anything if you're going to die in the next 20 minutes?
I don't know, I just feel he'll keep my mind off it, and he'll keep me calm and relaxed, and like there'll be zero panic. Like he's been through it all. A meteor's not going to like disrupt him one bit.
It's kind of funny how every situation is the same answer with you. So Michael, if the zombies took over tomorrow, what would happen? Well, I want to be on the couch with 50. Okay, Michael, a meteor is coming. What's going to happen? Well, I want to be on the couch just drinking Cezerp. Okay, Michael, a tsunami's coming. Well, I want to be on the couch.
Asunder says, I'm listening to you guys. I would chill with Bill Cosby because, you know.
Oh,
I see there's a meteor coming. We're going to have ourselves a couple of drinks and pills.
Oh. Might be the best thing, huh?
It would probably be. I think probably Bill Cosby's your best bet.
You go quietly into the night via Bill and the meteor.
And you'll fall asleep. You won't know what's happening. Guys, if you could see the tsunami, it's too late already, says Color. Head for higher ground. Yeah, that's about right. Ian says, according to the movie Deep Impact, that was the one where they're on the beach. It wasn't Armageddon. Deep Impact. But then on the movie 2012, I think it was.
I don't know. Let's see.
That movie. Remember the big huge chaos that unfolds on the Earth because there's tectonic plate shifting and all the rest. And the safest place to be there was the Drakensberg, apparently. Yeah. So that's probably a good place to go. I mean, you'd also get a pretty good view from up there, right? We'll take your calls, 0861-555-189. I also want to talk about these new Apple phones, the Apple iPhone 7 that's just been launched. Nothing exciting. Ben was saying earlier, and I totally agree with him, and I'm an Apple fan. I've got an iPhone, I've got an Apple Watch, I've got a laptop, all of that stuff. So I love Apple products, but there's nothing to get excited about here. So the thing is not going to break down if you drop it in a bath and you grab it quickly and pull it out. And apparently it comes in a new color. There's this jet black color, which is apparently like a glossy black color. And the camera's better. But really we're scrounging. We're scrounging for things that make it a more impressive piece of equipment. And they've got, I think, an extra 2 hours of battery life they've managed to figure out in the process. But that's not enough to make me go and spend, what is it now, 12,000 Rand on a brand new phone? It's even more, 14,000 Rand for a brand new iPhone 7.
So here's my question. Are we saying that they've run out of ideas here, or are we saying that us as customers have become near impossible to please because our expectations are out of this world?
Well, they've led us down the garden path. They've brought out better and better stuff every year for a long time, and now things are sort of... Look, here's what Ben said. All the features of the iPhone 7 already exist in other phones, Android phones.
Mm.
So it's not like anything new has come along.
And these features have existed before the iPhone 7, so there's no innovation here.
Nothing. Boring.
But have we also just got to the point... And again, I'm not playing devil's advocate here. We've not just got to the point where maybe there's no more innovation for this particular thing. So now it needs to be reinvented, re-looked at completely.
Yeah, it's like the laptop effectively hasn't really changed.
Yeah, like
in, what,
we've got to that stage now where we have flattened out. So,
and remember, the only reason that Apple's the world's most successful company is because of the iPod, which became the iPhone.
Yeah.
And then they developed the iPad and the watch. But the iPhone is really the winning product here. So there's going to be a new product at some point that is going to displace the phone.
Exactly. But what they need to do is just go to Star Wars, find all the things that were cool with them, and they have to get one or two of those.
Lightsaber, I'm telling you.
Yeah, the next iPhone has to be a lightsaber, so you can actually go into full-on combat. And the
forget
thing is,
Pokemon Go. You could actually have lightsaber battles.
Because then Apple will finally get a market share because they'll be killing Android users.
Yeah.
Physically killing them.
They'll actually be killing them, them out.
They would say, my phone's better than yours. And you go, whoa.
Yeah.
And
take
you
down.
You can just kill the guy.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
But murder's drastic, but I mean, this is a cutthroat industry.
I'm telling you.
You could be cutting a throat with a lightsaber.
So word on the street is that no one's going to be buying this iPhone 7 because next year is apparently some big anniversary for Apple, and that's when they're going to completely change the iPhone, the shape, everything with it. It's going to be like the latest and the greatest. So people are going to rather wait for this anniversary iPhone next year.
Weren't we meant to have a slab of glass already?
Yeah,
that's what it's got
to
be.
I'm pretty sure they were going to give us a small slab of rounded glass that is just Star Trek stuff.
Sort of like a see-through credit card. Which,
right. Yeah.
Instead, they just gave us a different color, which we're going to cover with another cover anyway.
Yeah. And by the way, some of these covers, I've seen people walking around with the worst looking, dorkiest, most horrible phone covers in the world. And I told you there's this site that I found where this guy makes these monster, they almost look like movie props. Have I shown you the guy who does the monster phone covers?
No.
It's like an eye and a mouth.
No.
Oh, It's fantastic. I've tried to find out how much they cost, but I'm not having any luck there. Let me see if I can find this for you. If you go onto Instagram, there's a dude who he's basically figured out a way to use the same stuff that they would use in movies for special effects or for prosthetics and all of that stuff. And he's made these horrifying, scary iPhone covers, iPad covers, key rings, all kinds of really, really creepy, ugly, nasty-looking stuff. But it's like a drooling mouth or an eye that's all bloodshot. So basically, if someone walked past your phone and they saw it lying there with any of this stuff on it, they wouldn't go near it.
Is it called Eye Monster?
No. Let me just find it for you. It's here somewhere.
If you Google monster creepy phone covers, you get...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the special effects, like to make like wounds and stuff, but they use this on a phone cover.
Yeah, and it looks like it was stitched up with skin at the back of your phone. Oh. It's
very realistic.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. You've got spiking teeth. You've got tongues pushed out of deformed mouths, eyeballs.
That's it.
Oh.
It's fantastic. Now, I want a phone cover like that. I'll tell you what, no one will steal your phone. It's frightening. So I'm just looking for something new on this phone tip. You know, I want some kind of superior technology that they haven't thought of before. That we suddenly go, wow, that's absolutely astonishing. That's going to change everything. Holograms, Ben was saying earlier. You know, you could lift your eye watch or your Apple Watch up, and then a person, a hologram of that person would be beamed through your watch onto your wrist. That would be phenomenal, huh?
So hologram conversations instead of phone calls.
Right, like FaceTime is all good and well, but now we need holograms. Wouldn't that be spectacular? Oh, I'd love that. By the way, my favorite show is back, The Strain, which I know a lot of people are not particularly impressed with, but I love this show. It's that Guillermo del Toro. He's the director. The bunch of people who live in a sort of post-apocalyptic New York where the vampire zombies are busy taking over. It's a great show. Scary stuff. They've got this... It's like a virus that is passed along, and there's this whole mythology around these ancient vampires who've been there since the dawn of time. And these creatures, there were originally seven of them. And there's one who's gone rogue, and now he's busy eating humans and converting humans into monsters. And oh, it's brilliant. The Strain, you've got to watch it. They've got two episodes out already, and someone sent me both of them, so now I'm back in the saddle in that one. That's my favorite show at the moment.
I'm fascinated by that. There's so many good shows, but you like that.
Well, what are you watching? Don't be a TV snob.
I'm not being a TV snob, it's just that show, it's...
What are you watching?
I'm currently watching Quantico. That's very interesting.
What is that?
Well, it just makes you never want to go to America because you will be shot by someone in a uniform. Someone will kill you.
Yeah.
The FBI, and it's just too much.
It's like
police.
Conspiracy theory stuff?
Well, not really. It's just about terrorism and how you get moles within organizations, and it's really, really involved and also very, very scary because you can see how it all happens. And how these people are just made to be absolute robots, pushing the agendas of these organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Quantico is that series that Pearl Tussie's in.
Yeah, you see,
season two, yeah.
I want to actually start watching this show because I missed season one. You know, and it's apparently not one of those situations where she'll be in one episode. I mean, she's going to be in recurring episodes throughout the whole of season two. She's currently in the States, will be there over like the next 6 months or so.
Oh, she's looking hot.
Very well. Hasn't she always?
She's taken it up a level because I saw her presenting that what's that karaoke type show, that lip sync?
Oh, lip sync battle Africa.
That's the one. I saw her on that the other day. First of all, she presents really well. She's good on TV. Mm. You know what I mean? And second of all, she looks spectacular. She looks like she's just on top of her game. Pearl Tussie, and we should get her on the show sometime. Speak to her again soon. All right, coming up in a little while, we speak to Togiya Sekgwaele, former Minister of Human Settlements. I don't even go to the club no more.
CliffCentral.com.